All right, so get ready to dive into like the crazy competitive world of sneakers and big business, because today we're gonna like break down this leadership fumble that had huge EE consequences.
Huge.
For Nike, you know, like that little brand with the swoosh. Everybody knows them.
Right, yeah.
So picture this. It's 2020 and John Donahoe, this like tech titan, the guy who practically invented e-commerce over at eBay,
right.
He takes over as CEO of Nike, right? And you're thinking slam dunk, right? Like match made in, well, if not heaven, then like at least, you know.
Boardroom somewhere.
A boardroom somewhere, exactly. But hold on to your hats, folks, because it gets, well,
interesting.
It gets interesting really fast.
It does. And you know what's so fascinating about this whole thing is that on the surface, Donahoe coming in, it seemed like a total no-brainer, right? You've got this company that's like primed for the digital age.
Totally.
And who better to lead the charge than this like Silicon Valley veteran?
Right.
But what we ended up seeing was this head-on collision between these two totally different worlds. It's like tech versus that, you know, that like iconic sports brand ethos.
You got that right. And our like our guide for this deep dive today is this, well, it's a fascinating and let's be honest, pretty scathing article from CEO Trends.
Oh yeah, I read that one.
Yeah, it's called, and this is a mouthful, How John Donahoe's Leadership Misstep Cost Nike Billions and Its Edge.
Ouch. Yeah, they didn't hold back.
No, they did not. Spoiler alert. So, okay, let's break this down.
Yeah.
The article's main point is basically that Donahoe came in guns blazing, digital playbook wide open.
Right. Like he was ready to like.
Yeah, like full on digital transformation.
And woofanize it.
Exactly. But here's the catch. His like laser focus on online sales and like slashing costs, you know, becoming more efficient.
Yeah.
It ended up sidelining like the very things that made Nike, well, Nike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their legacy of innovation, this untouchable brand identity. It's
totally.
It's kind of crazy.
And it's crucial to remember like where Donahoe was coming from, right?
Yeah.
His background was all about e-commerce, right?
Yeah.
Efficiency. Getting products directly to consumers' doorsteps.
Yes, right to your door.
Which, don't get me wrong, it's important, right?
Yeah, of course.
But Nike, they're not just selling shoes and sweatpants, right? They're selling a feeling and aspirations.
That's true.
They're selling that connection to athletic excellence, you know?
Like that whole just do it.
Yeah. It's like that old saying, right? People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And I think somewhere along the way, that message got
lost
a little bit. Yeah. It's like they just like temporarily forgot about the athletes, the people who built their empire, you know?
Yeah.
And the article actually gives this like really eye-opening example to show this. Remember when Nike was like the name in specialized athletic gear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, think back to those basketball shoes, meticulously designed for like specific footwork and like, you know, how you land and all that.
Yeah.
Those football cleats, engineered for different playing surfaces.
Yeah.
Like, they were in a league of their own, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of where things took a turn, right? Like, under Donahoe, the article argues that Nike's product line started to feel, I don't know, a bit generic, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like they were chasing trends instead of, you know, like...
Setting them?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not very just do it, is it?
No, not at all. It's like they, like, traded their rebellious side for, you know...
Like a spot in line at the clearance rack.
Exactly, yes.
It's kind of wild. And, like, the article, it doesn't hold back about capturing this. Like,
the drama.
Yeah, like, the rumblings of discontent within Nike during this whole, like, shift. They've got quotes from, like, industry insiders, former Nike execs.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, they did not mince words.
They did not. Like, it's some pretty juicy stuff.
It's juicy. You can practically hear... Like the echoes of "I told you so," like reverberating through the halls of Nike, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like take Andy Greenaway, for example. This guy was like a creative leader, worked closely with Nike, and he straight up called Donahoe a bean counter.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Like not subtle at all. But his point was that like Donahoe didn't seem to get like the soul of the apparel business.
Right.
Like that it's about more than just, you know, logistics and algorithms.
Yeah, and that ties into this like broader criticism that a few different people brought up in the article, right? Like they felt like this laser focus on just going direct to consumer.
Right, right.
Which again, not a bad thing in itself, but it's like it ended up overshadowing everything else, you know?
Yeah, like the companies, their long-term vision. Exactly, like their reason for even existing, you know?
Yeah. It's like trying to squeeze this like bold, innovative brand
into a box.
Yeah, into this perfectly optimized e-commerce box. And yeah, it's like, it doesn't quite fit.
It just doesn't work.
No. And Massimo Ginko, he was a former Nike branding executive.
Okay.
He just lays it out there in the article.
Yeah, what do you say?
He says, and I quote, "For the first time in Nike's history, long-term vision wasn't about sustainable growth anymore. It was about the supremacy of direct-to-consumer led by digital."
Wow.
It's kind of ironic, right? Like they're chasing this digital dominance so aggressively that it's like they might have fumbled like
right,
their grip on what made them like
pioneers
in the first place, you know?
Yeah, totally. And you know what's so interesting about this is that Donahoe's approach, like it wasn't necessarily wrong.
Right.
Like
in theory,
digital transformation is like crucial for any brand.
Totally. Especially now.
Especially one as big as Nike. Right.
Yeah.
But I think the article, it suggests that it was the execution, you know?
Yeah.
Like the way it overshadowed everything else.
Yeah. Like it took over.
It took over. And that's where things really started to unravel.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of unraveling, like, we can't forget about the financial consequences here, right?
Because this is Nike we're talking about.
This is Nike. Like, this is a brand that practically prints money.
Exactly.
But get this. Under Donahoe, their stock value plummeted by...
How much was it? It was 50, like an insane amount.
An insane amount, yeah.
Wait for it. $28
billion? $28
billion. Billion. With a B.
Billion, enough of the B. I mean,
it's wild.
It's mind blowing. It's enough to make you want to like lace up your running shoes and run in the opposite direction.
And it really drives home the article's point, right?
Yeah.
About the high cost of like misaligned leadership.
Oh, for sure.
It's a stark reminder that even these like powerhouse brands,
yeah,
like Nike, they're not invincible.
No.
When the person at the top doesn't truly get it, you know?
Right, they don't get the brand.
They don't get why it works. They don't get the
the
magic of it. Yeah, the consequences can be
significant, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's not even just about the money. It's about the potential
innovation.
The innovation that gets lost along the way, you know?
Totally. And speaking of lost opportunities, right? So Nike's kind of like taking their eye off the ball here. Meanwhile, their competitors, they're busy like lacing up their shoes, getting ready to sprint. You know what I mean?
It's like that old saying, right? Like, when the cat's away,
the mice will play.
The mice will play.
Mm.
Or in this case, like when the swoosh stumbles, the up and comers, they make their move.
They see an opening.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And the article even points to some specific brands.
Yeah, like who?
Like on Hoka, Lululemon.
Okay, yeah.
Like these companies, they were once content to like stay in their lane, you know?
Right.
And then all of a sudden they've got this like wide open field.
Yeah, it's their time to shine.
It's their moment.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's not like these were like, you know, nobody brands.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They were already doing their thing.
They were already innovating.
But they were like the underdogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were listening, I think, to what customers wanted, especially those like
diehards.
Yeah. Those diehard athletes. And they hadn't lost sight of what made them special. And they were ready to like pounce on any misstep from Nike, you know?
Yeah, and it's wild because like you think about it.
It's kind of a classic story though, isn't it?
It is.
It's like David and Goliath.
Totally.
You know, while the giant's busy like polishing its armor and all of that.
Right, like looking impressive.
The underdogs are out there winning hearts and market share.
Exactly. And it really makes you wonder, like, was this massive digital transformation, was it just like something Nike couldn't afford to ignore?
Right.
Could they have like ridden that wave, you know, without losing like the soul of their brand, that edge that they were so famous for?
It's the $1 million question.
It really is.
Like, it makes you wonder if there was a different way to do it.
Right.
You know, a way to like embrace digital, but not lose sight of what made them Nike.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe they needed someone different at the helm. you know?
Right.
Someone who, yeah, they understood the whole digital landscape, but they also like got it, you know?
Yeah.
Got what it meant to be an athlete, got that connection with the consumer.
Get that heart.
Yeah. And maybe that could have, you know, led to a different outcome. Who knows?
It's true. It really does. It makes you wonder, like, if maybe under Donahoe, did Nike get, I don't know, like a little too, like, careful.
Interesting.
You know, for a company that's all about just do it.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's like, did they trade their, like, their daring spirit for, like, a spreadsheet? You know what I mean?
It's a cautionary tale, I think, for leaders in any industry.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, not just sneakers and apparel.
It's universal truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds us that, like, staying ahead, it's not just about, you know, jumping on every new trend.
Right, right.
It's about understanding, like, the core of who you are.
Yeah, that why.
That why, exactly. And making sure that every decision you make.
Every move.
It lines up with that, you know?
It's about staying true to yourself.
Exactly.
Even when the world's, like, changing all around you.
Which it always is, right?
Right. Crazy, crazy world. Well, there you have it, folks.
The saga of John Donahoe at Nike.
Nike under John Donahoe. A tale of tech colliding with tradition.
The pitfalls of leadership.
Yes. When it goes wrong and the importance of, you know,
staying true to yourself.
Staying true to yourself, to your core.
Your brand.
Yeah. Even when it's tough, even when the, you know, the easy path is to just kind of follow the crowd.
Right, right. Gotta be brave, gotta take those risks.
Gotta just do it. All right. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And remember, like, the next time you're, you know, lacing up your sneakers.
Whether they're Nikes or something else.
Exactly. Take a minute. Think about, like, the brands you support.
What they stand for.
What they represent. What makes them, you know.
Social.
Special. Yeah. Yeah. In a world that's full of choices.
Too many choices sometimes.
Too many choices.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those observations sharp.
That